Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back to a Sunday visibly different from all the other Sundays of Advent. I don't know how many of you people pay attention to small little details or notice little things, but we decided to lighten it up a little bit this week because Advent is almost over. Christmas is almost here. The third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday, Gaudete, from the entrance antiphon this day, Gaudete in Domino Semper, Iterum Dico Gaudete. That's Latin, of course. It's St. Paul, and it translates as rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again, rejoice. And it's identical to what Paul said in our second reading today. Rejoice always, and that's what we're going to take a look at here today, okay? We're going to take a look at that today, because how on earth can you rejoice always? How does that make any sense? How is that even sane? Let's take a closer look, and we're going to do it by taking that phrase in the context of what St. Paul said next, in all circumstances, give thanks. Because there's a connection between joy and gratitude, and you need to know it. You need all the joy you can get, right? Especially in today's world, all the joy you can get. And here's something that I really want everyone to understand, and this is the only thing I'm going to say today. Practice deliberate gratitude, and you will discover joy. Take a closer look. Did you know that back in 2004, they did a study on the connection between joy and gratitude, and they did it at the Olympic Games, Summer Olympics 2004, held in Athens? And it would be surprising for you to find out that the saddest athlete in the Olympics were the winners of the silver medal. Now, they did a study, and this is what they did. They looked at the faces of the athletes the moment they found out that they won a medal. Did they smile or did they not smile? Here's what they found out. For those who won the gold, 93% of them smiled when they found out they won the gold. I don't know what happened to the other 7%. You know, maybe they were too tired. Maybe it was boxing. They got hit in the face. I don't know. 93% smiled when they found out they won the gold. How many people do you think smiled the moment they discovered that they won the bronze? 70%? 7 out of 10 smile when they found out they won the bronze. But how many people smiled when they found out they won the silver medal? Answer? 0%. Not one single exception. Now, why is that? Why is that? Okay, you take the gold medal winners, you set them aside, okay? I mean, you know, you came in first, you won, you trained for this for years, you're the best in the world, you're happy, no surprise. But why is the bronze medal winner, by and large, happier than the silver medal winner? And the answer is, the bronze medal winner is grateful. And that's why he's joyful. The silver medal winner is entitled. And that's why they're unhappy. Bronze medal winner said, hey, I won a medal. I'm an Olympic medalist. I'm on the podium. I got hardware. Hooray! Right? Happy they got something. Silver medalist thinks they failed. I should have had the gold. It should have been mine. They felt entitled and therefore unhappy. The bronze medal winner, grateful and therefore joyful. There's a connection between joy and gratitude. Learn it. My favorite definition of joy comes from St. Thomas Aquinas. He said, joy is the conscious possession of a good. Have any good thing? Be aware of it? That's joy. It's true for big things. Maybe you've got a happy home life. Maybe you've got a great job. Maybe you've got a great house. When you realize these things, you can't help but be happy. It's true for small things. glass of cold water on a hot summer day, a double-double ice cream cone, a donut with extra sprinkles couldn't contain your joy, right? But what you have to understand is that you've got to choose it. You got to deliberately choose it. And some people, they look at their lives and they say, how can I choose to be thankful? How can I choose to be grateful? My life is terrible, they say to themselves. Living under the terrible illusion that happiness depends on your life circumstances. Are you aware that it does not? Know this well. Happiness is an inside job. People are as happy as they make up their minds to be. And there's a study to prove it. It's called the Brickman Study. The year was 1978, and here's what they did. They compared the happiness of two groups of people that you thought would be on diametric opposite poles of the spectrum. They compared people who won the lottery with people who had been in an automobile accident and had been disabled for life, right? Opposite extremes. Now, What'd they discover? Well, for the first few days and weeks and even months after their life-altering experience, granted, the lottery winners were ecstatic, and the people who were victims of auto accidents and permanently disabled, you know, they were kind of down, granted. What's surprising is that several months after that, both groups reverted to the level of happiness they had before their life-altering incident. If they were happy before their life-altering incident, they were happy afterwards, whether they won the lottery or got in a car crash, and the reverse. Right? Happiness is something that you choose. People think, you know, if only I could change my circumstances, I'd be happy. If I could get a better job, if I could get into that school that I want to get into, I know that if I could just make more money, I'd be happy. Happiness is not dependent on your external circumstances. You got to learn that one, and you got to believe it. Happiest place I've ever seen in my life, Rwanda. Little tiny underdeveloped nation in the heart of Africa. I was there in the summertime working in an orphanage. Happiest people. Look, mile for mile, more smiles in Rwanda than in Ashburn. And for the simplest things. They're happy to have a glass of cold water, happy to be able to play with friends, happy to have a decent pair of shoes. Came back to the USA after going to Rwanda. I went to the Silver Diner because I wanted to get a Belgian waffle. And I couldn't believe all the grumps. You got this perfectly clean, wonderful restaurant and enough food you could stack it to the ceiling if you wanted to. And people still found something to complain about. Choose gratitude. Start anywhere. And I mean start with the obvious things. You can be grateful that you're even here right now. That you're even here. In church. Believe me. Plenty of places around the world right now where you cannot go to Sunday Mass not without risking your civil rights. You could lose your job. You could be imprisoned. You could even be killed. What am I supposed to be grateful for? Start with the obvious things. You got something to eat for breakfast this morning. You can have something for lunch, something for dinner, and in between if you feel like it. You got a roof over your head. You got a place where you belong. You got a family. A lot of people could envy that. What are you supposed to be thankful for? Think about anything at all. Do you realize that in one single day, your heart beats 100,000 times? 35 million times in a year your heart beats. That's a lot of stuff going right. You know, or you can think about the Van Allen belts out there in outer space protecting us all from solar radiation. And if they stopped doing their job, within 5 minutes we would all look like a pile of crispy tater tots. A lot of things we can be thankful for. But as people of faith, we got to take it a step further. It's not enough for us just to be thankful when things go right. We want to be thankful when things go wrong. Because that's how you rejoice always. How on earth can I be thankful for things going wrong? Answer, understand what is meant by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Jose Maria Escriva, He once said, give thanks for the things that go wrong. How on earth can you give thanks for the things that go wrong? Because you know who your God is. He's always up to something. Question for you here this morning. What's more honest? Optimism or pessimism? What's more honest? Glass half empty or glass half full? Murphy's Law or best is yet to come? What's more honest? Optimism or pessimism? Answer? Optimism is the only honest response. Pessimism is a lie. No exaggeration. If you have faith, you understand that God brings good out of everything. That's what's meant by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Doesn't matter how bad things seem. I know it doesn't happen all at once, and you have to hang on in faith, and it doesn't make sense right up front. But you know what your God is up to, and you can't wait to see it unfold. That's how Paul gave thanks in all circumstances. He knew this in the marrow of his bones, what the resurrection of Christ meant. He knew that it was a victory so complete that nothing would ever be able to reverse it. Here's an image for you. You might find this helpful. Imagine all the sorrows of your life as a bucket of water. Maybe you got a really big bucket of water. Take it a step further. Imagine all the sorrows of the whole world and all of history as a swimming pool full of water, or all the waters of all the oceans of all the world all put together. Okay? Imagine. Imagine the resurrection of Christ as the blazing sun. Now, take your water, try to extinguish the sun. Just try, give it your best shot. Once you realize what's meant in faith, and you can learn this, you can develop this, you can grow, you will realize what it means to rejoice always. Paul wasn't crazy. Paul was not crazy. He had some hard days. Read Acts of the Apostles, see it for yourself. Paul knew what it meant to be unjustly imprisoned. Paul knew what it meant to be beaten to within an inch of his life. When Paul said those words, rejoice always, he wrote them from prison, awaiting his own execution. Imagine that. But he understood what he said to the Romans, that nothing, nothing will ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. It's not an emotion. It's an inner glow that grows out of confidence and faith. That's how you rejoice always. It's hard to rejoice always in the world in which we live. People in this world trying their darndest 24/7 to keep you from rejoicing always. Maybe it's the news cycle. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's people in advertising constantly trying to tell you that you're not good enough. You're too fat, you're too thin, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too old, you're too young, you're too pale, you're too gray, but I guarantee you they can change it all for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Don't believe it. Choose gratitude. Choose joy. There has never in history been such a thing as a joyful ingrate. That's why we say this every time we say Mass. It is truly right and just. Our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty God. Amen.